You know, Jesus said in John 10:27 that his sheep hear his voice and they follow. And so we can open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. There was a tribe in Israel called the Sons of Issachar who had a gifting to be able to discern the times and to know what Israel would do, that if they knew what the Lord was saying, they also could direct the nation on what to do. And so in today's day, as we know Jesus Christ and as we hear his voice, he imparts to us understanding of the times so that we can know how to walk in it. It's like he's given us eyes to see, revelation, and wings to get there, apostolic activation. So tonight, I want to share with you a few insights that God has given me that I'm passionate about. Some of them started developing around Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is actually the biblical new year. So it's usually around that time that I get some insights, and then they start developing over the next couple of months. So by the time the next calendar year that we have on the Gregorian calendar year, it's like I'm ready to go. So I'm really excited about what I have to share with you tonight. One of the things that God wants you to know is that when you are walking with him, everything is good all the time, because he works everything together for good. So even though there might be horrific situations that take place in your life, maybe obstacles to overcome, that everything has a good ending, because he works everything together for good. In today's day, you'll find that there is a lot of negativity, even within the church. There is a lot of negativity about the day and the hour we're living in, about the horrific things that are about to come, about the catastrophes, about, you know, even God's heart towards different nations, where he's upset and he's going to finish them off and demolish them and judge them and send destruction on them. And, you know, I want to help you rightly divide that tonight, because God, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we have to be able to read his word, to read the right mail, because in this word, we'll have revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the character and the nature of God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So according to who he is constant. Those are constants. For example, God is always love. He will never stop being love, because it says in the word, God is love. He is a love God. God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. God is righteous. God is holy. God is pure. God is merciful. God is awesome. God is almighty. All these things speak of who God is, and those things will never change. He'll never do anything that is outside of who he is. And yet, when we see his activities, we see throughout the Bible that there's a variety of activities. There's a variety of behaviors in God. All of his behaviors and all of his activities are according to his nature, but they're different. They're not constant. They're not always the same. For example, when Jesus came across the situation with the Pharisees and the group of men that were condemning the woman caught in adultery, and they said to him, the law says that we are to stone her because she was caught in the very act. And so that was true. She was actually deserving, according to the law, she was deserving of a stoning to death. And so Jesus, he upheld the law. He didn't say, don't stone her. He said, whoever is without sin can cast the first stone. They all dropped their stones, and there's no one left there to condemn her. And he says, are any of your accusers here? And she says, none. And he says, well, neither do I condemn you. And so he said, go and sin no more. And so he upheld justice and upheld righteousness, but he showed great mercy. Now, that was a wonderful act of God. And yet, in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, we see God still being as righteous, still as loving as he was in that situation. But we see with Ananias and Sapphira a whole different behavior, that God actually allowed them to go under a judgment unto death because they had lied and misrepresented the truth. And as a result of that, the fear of God fell upon all the church in that hour. Now, God didn't stop being a loving God. In fact, that act was a loving act. We will understand in fullness the wisdom of God's love, and, you know, when we enter into the eternal dimension, but we get glimpses of it now, and by the Spirit, we can have it revealed to us as we listen for God's voice. He loved Ananias and Sapphira, and because he loved them, he wasn't going to let them continue on in that kind of behavior. He wasn't going to let them misrepresent him. But he also loved his church, and he loved what was being established in that hour, and he was going to make sure that the right standard was seen by the people. It was important that that happened. So in God's love, he is also full of wisdom and knows when to act in certain ways. So what you see in one verse of the Bible might not be the way that God acts in another verse of the Bible, but it's all him, and it all stems out of who he is. And so from age to age, from, you know, dispensation to dispensation, he will actually highlight certain parts of his character, his word, his ways, and they're all true. Everything in the Bible is true, but it all has to be rightly divided according to the nature of God. So as you're reading through the Bible and as you're pondering what the world needs right now and what God is going to do, remember that he is a love God and always has been. And everything that he does will be through love. He is always righteous, so he will never change that. He's never going to endorse sin. He will never say that sin is okay, for example. He will never say, oh, it's okay, just go ahead and sin, because he knows in his love that sin hurts us, that sin destroys people, and he's against it. He actually hates sin. So never will he say it's okay for someone to sin. It says in the New Testament that his wrath actually is against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men. So his wrath is part of his choice to be directed towards injustice in that. And even though we don't see it the same as in the Old Testament where he had wrath against people, he spent that wrath against us. Instead of putting it on us, he put it on his son. So Jesus Christ at the cross actually paid the penalty for our sins. He forgave us our sin. He became our sin. He paid the penalty for our sin, and he endured the wrath and the punishment, the judgment of God for us, so that we would be free from that element. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't have wrath towards sin. So in Romans 1, for example, it says that God's wrath is against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. So if we are choosing to be inside of sin because we, for some stupid reason, we choose to love sin, which the spirit of stupid is definitely on you if you choose to love sin. If we're in sin when his wrath comes against it, then we will experience that wrath. And so that is not to be taken lightly. And so as we are going into tonight, because I've got some things to share about 2014 and beyond, where God is calling us to be separated unto him, but we have to rightly divide the word of truth. We have to always know that God is good and that everything that we read in the word has to go to the cross, okay? So with that being said, I'll start with this, is that in 2014, this has already begun actually, but it's going to escalate over this next year. God is calling his body to manifest righteous behavior. And there's no doubt about it. And the Spirit of God is demanding that the church arise into his goodness, into his righteousness, into moral standards, to choose God's ways. In the Bible, it's very clear about, you know, the works of the flesh. It says they're evident. You know, it's lies and contentions and dissensions and immorality and fornication and sorcery and homosexuality. It lists them all. Those are all works of flesh. It says, and he who practices these things will not enter the kingdom. So we know that that is the works of the flesh. But when we are in Christ, we manifest the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, you know, it's love, joy, peace, patience, and on with all the good aspects and attributes of God that are inside of love. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So that's what we are called to manifest as his people. There can be no confusion about that. We have the works of the flesh, the sinful works of the flesh that's already been condemned in Christ. And then we've got the fruit of the Spirit. And God wants us to choose and walk in the fruit of the Spirit because this fruit of the flesh is condemned. It says in Galatians, it says, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that is what he will reap. If he sows to the flesh, he will reap corruption. And that is for Christians as well as non-Christians. It's the law of God. It's the way it works. The thing is, when you accept Christ, you are given a new nature where he actually writes his laws on your heart. So you by nature do what God loves. You love what he loves. You hate what he hates because it's in the nature of God. It's just the way he wires you. Now, what's happening right now, and it's going to continue to happen in 2014, is there are two ditches that are going to be identified clearly in this next while. One of them is the ditch of what people would maybe call, maybe they call it hyper grace. I don't really like that term because it's not real grace. Like, if anyone says, I'm under the grace of God, therefore I can go out and get drunk, I can fornicate, I can, you know, have a party spirit, I can fuel my flesh. If anyone thinks that way, they actually don't know what grace is. So I wouldn't call that hyper grace. I would call that just sinful nature. But it's being called hyper grace. People that are preaching that you can do anything you want, any deed of the flesh, any sinful thing. It's not really you sinning. You can just, you know, you're under grace. It doesn't matter. It's a false doctrine, and we don't want to go in that ditch. But there's a ditch on the other side of truth that is equally as dangerous. It's the ditch of religion, the ditch of self-effort, the ditch of legalism. In other words, leaning on the law or self-effort to accomplish the life of Christ, the work of Christ, the grace of Christ within you. And that will never happen. We have to be very careful because where do you draw the line? Like I could say, okay, you know, you fornicate and you are going to hell, you know, or you fornicate and you are going to have God mad at you. But what about unbelief and what measure of unbelief? Because it says unbelief is sin. God calls it the hardness of your heart. So what measure of unbelief? Have you walked in unbelief today in any way? So where does it become really dangerous for you? And when is it that God is going to release his anger at you? And when is it that you pat yourself on the back for being such a great person and condemn everyone else? You see where I'm going with this? And so we can't trust ourselves in either ditch, not to say, oh, well, I can do anything, or not to say I'm going to do it all myself. We have to go with God's way, which was through Jesus Christ, where he came in grace and truth. Those are not two separate things. They're one and the same, just different sides of the same coin. It's called Jesus, our Redeemer, our Savior, came in grace and truth. We are saved by grace through faith. What is grace? Grace is his divine influence upon our heart. It's also his undeserved, unmerited favor, but it means his influence that empowers us to do his will. So when I understand what Jesus did at the finished work of the cross, then I can walk in freedom and in liberty because I'll be directed into righteousness. If I get directed into sin, grace has not led me there. If in my behavior I am manifesting sin, grace did not lead me there. And if I get into, you know, a works thing where I'm striving in myself to try to please God and do everything right and fix myself and rebuke myself and judging everyone else, grace did not get me there. And so we want to walk with God very carefully. But there will be, in 2014, there are going to be wars between two camps. Now, there shouldn't be wars, but in it, we need to understand that there is aspects of truth, even in both extremes, but we have to extract the precious from the worthless and hold fast to that which is good. One thing God is demanding for sure, that we are separated unto him. It's just the means that he uses to separate is through his kindness, through his grace. It is the kindness of God, it is the mercy of God that leads a man to repentance, because when you get to know his love, everything in you will gravitate towards him. But when you are being loved on by God, when you are being shown mercy by God, the influence of that, if it's truly at work within a heart that is pliable, that is open, that hasn't been hardened, it will actually lead you to repentance. That's what causes you to turn towards him. That's what repentance means, turning towards him. I found that whenever grace comes on me, it just leads me to be closer and closer to him. And so that is what God is doing in this year. There is going to be a separation between the sheep and the goats, between the wheat and the tares. There's going to be an identification, and that work has already begun. But we need to take this seriously. But he wants us to be joyful in our walk with him, because he's so good. And if you know his goodness, and if you walk in that goodness, then you will manifest his righteousness. So 2014, there will be a tension between grace and the law, but it's going to actually cause us to find the truth. We're going to hit the mark so that we can manifest the life of Jesus Christ. We can manifest the love of God. He will take care of things that are out of order. You know, I was recalling a scripture. One of our intercessors asked me just a week ago about the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. And I said, you know, that always bothered me as a young Christian. I asked the Lord about it. And the Lord said that I didn't deliberately say, oh, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart so he'll never be able to serve me anyways because I just don't like him and I think I'll just harden him. It wasn't like that. And he showed me that the same sun that hardens clay will melt wax. So if you were to put some wet clay dirt out before the sun, and then you were to put a wax candle out before the sun, the clay would actually harden and the wax would actually melt. But it's the same sun having the same effect on both substances. It depends on the substance. And so the same love God, the same righteous God that softened Moses' heart, that softened Aaron's heart, actually hardened Pharaoh's heart. It was just different effect because of what was in the heart. So we're going to see the exposing of heart. Anyone that says, I'm under grace and I can sin and do whatever I want, and I like my flesh, and I like doing sin, you've got a revelation of what's in their heart. It's the hardness of heart. It's like, you know, they're going to reap corruption. So we need to pray so that they can come to the Lord, because they need to turn to him. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that's what he's going to reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life. Amen? All right. Next, it says in the Word, in Proverbs 31:25, that the virtuous woman smiles at her future. On October the 29th, we were just getting ready for the tent meetings. I was in my kitchen, and I believe it was an angel that came to me. I didn't actually see it, but the way it came, I just have a witness in my spirit that it was an angel, and it gave me three specific words. And then later on that morning, I got another one. But the first word was that we are to smile at the future because it's good. The Lord spoke very clearly to me. He says, I want you to know that you can smile at the future. If you think, you know, a year down the road, look at 2014. Look towards the end of 2014 and have an expectation that's going to be good. Start smiling now because it's going to be really good. He said, do not listen to evil reports. Listen to my report. And then he gave me Jeremiah 29:11. It says that God gives us an expected end, or a future and a hope. And so he always puts good things in front of us. In John 10:10, we are promised a good life. It says it's the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that you would have life and have it abundantly. Now, we know that in the world there's tribulation. And in 2014, there's going to be some very real tensions in the world. But God says to his covenant people, you see, you need to understand that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ cut a covenant between us and God. So we have this eternal covenant that we've entered into, and it's a covenant of goodness. It's a covenant of blessing. And he says in that, he says, I'm giving you a good future. I'm going to cause everything to work together for good for you. Now, when you believe the truth about God's goodness, when you believe that promise, It'll start to manifest within your life. There are many Christians who are saying, oh, the future's terrible. It's going to be awful what's going to happen, and God's going to come and destroy whole nations and stuff like that. And you know what? That might actually happen. That might actually happen, where God's judgment might fall in different places, and it's because he's a love God. He wants to deliver. But for the people of God who are in him, it doesn't matter what the days are like. It doesn't matter what the times are around us. We can live in the goodness of God. The Lord spoke to me during the time of the tent meetings. He said, in the 1920s, he said, I was the same God in the 1920s as I was in the 1930s. The times of the 20s, there was a lot of abundance. There was a big party spirit. They called it the Roaring 20s. But overnight, on October the 29th, 1929, I believe it was, overnight, the stock market crashed, and we entered into what was called the Dirty 30s, or the Great Depression. But God was the same. He was always a good God. He was good in the 1920s, and he was good in the 1930s. And those who knew him and knew his promises and lived by his promises through the 30s, through the wartime of the 40s, they lived in the blessing of God. You know, we have to learn how to appropriate the promise, appropriate the blessing. One example I can give you is Amy Semple McPherson, who, she built Angelus Temple in a difficult time. In fact, she started with $10 of her own money. And when they moved into Angelus Temple, it was debt-free. And that wasn't in an affluent time. And all through the 30s, they functioned. I mean, it costs a lot of money to run a big building like that, to even keep it open, to keep the doors open. There is a lot of expenses. But there was so much abundance and so much fruitfulness that people were getting saved every day. They were getting delivered. They were getting healed. The gospel was transforming people's lives. And that was in the midst of the 30s. She went on, you know, and did media and opened up radio programs and used media for the advancement of the Spirit of God. Nothing was going to hold her back, because she knew that God was a good God. In the 1940s, during the wartime, she raised, and the Angelus Temple raised, more money for war bonds to help the nation than other organizations did. They fed more people during the difficult times, like in their feeding programs. They fed more people than most organizations did put together. Why? It's because she and those that were of that company of faith believed in the goodness of God. Even though it was difficult times all around them, they lived in the blessing and in the testimony of the Lord. So no matter what is going on in the world, and there will be some dark things, Isaiah 60, it says, you know, arise and shine, because your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. Talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Gross darkness the people. But the Lord is going to arise upon you. His glory will appear upon you. Kings will come to the brightness of your rising. It is going to be an amazing day for the people of God. God says prophetically to you, smile at your future. We have taken this word of the Lord. Our ministry has taken this word. We don't take it lightly. We're meditating on it day and night. We're laying hold of it. We're claiming it. We're living it. And we're already seeing the effect of it. We are already seeing things shift into this glorious, you know, glorious smile on our face for what God is doing. Every day there's testimonies of his goodness already. And we're just in the beginning of the year so far at the time of this particular webinar. So smile at your future. Look a year down the road and smile at what you see. Allow God to show his blessing. Remember, he is a good God to you. You know, Elijah, he lived in a time when there was famine and drought, but he didn't lack for anything. In fact, he went to the widow of Zarephath and worked a miracle for her, so that her and her son could have enough in the midst of difficult times. They thought they were going to die, but he changed their outlook. They could now smile at their future because God provided for them what they needed. And that's what you are going to experience if you will receive it. It says in Hebrews 3 and 4 that Israel was a stiff-necked people, because they hardened their heart with unbelief. And it says, even though they had a promise from God about the promised land, it didn't do them any good because it wasn't mixed with faith. They didn't believe it. So it was a promise left for them, but it didn't benefit them at all. Please do not let this word of the Lord for 2014 go by you. Believe it. Receive it. Trust God in it. Smile at your future. Amen? Because you're a covenant child of God. If you happen to be watching this webcast and you do not know Jesus yet, I'm going to introduce you to him by the end of the program. You'll want to know him. He's a good God. And you'll want to be on his team in this hour because the darkness in the world is getting darker. The troubles are getting more troubled. There's more confusion about even right and wrong, more than ever before. But his ways are perfect and all his ways are just. And there's an ark of his presence that you can just live inside of and be free. And in that place, smile at your future all the days of your life. Also, the other word, the second word that the angel brought to me on October 29th was that there was going to be 7 years of great abundance. And he actually gave it to me, confirmed it through a scripture. He said, there's 7 years of great abundance. Now, the thing is, in October the 29th, 2013, when the angel came with that word for me, the media was saying everything was going to go bad. Even Christian, you know, prophets were saying everything's going to be bad. And yet the Lord said, no, there's going to be 7 years of great abundance for you. Now, again, Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, I came that you would have life in its abundance. Are you going to believe him or the report of the Lord? Because we can live in this kingdom realm as believers. We have to read the right mail that no matter what happens in the end days, if it's difficult in the world, if the seals of judgment are released and things happen out there, remember that we are in Christ and he came to save us, to deliver us, to prosper us, to keep us in the peace. But we have to appropriate that by faith. We're living in his peace. We're living in his goodness. We're living in times when he wants to give abundance. And he said, I am going to bless you with 7 years of great abundance. So we've started to believe it as a team for like, as a ministry, of course, we've been preaching the gospel. We preach the gospel every day, especially through media. It goes out all over the world, 24/7. Every single day, we send the word out, the word of his love, the word of his truth, the, you know, scriptures and teachings and the gospel and healing ministry and stuff every day through media, 24/7. And it's amazing because that is producing abundance of fruit. But I believe that what has already been produced is nothing compared to what we are going to see, because he said 7 years of great abundance are coming. So we are standing on the word and we're saying, okay, Lord, we're believing for abundance of souls. We're believing for abundance of healings. We're believing for abundance of deliverance, for abundance of people hearing the word of God, for abundance of every good thing, abundance of everything that we need in every day, abundance of good relationships, abundance of love, abundance of good giftings to do everything that the Lord calls us to do. And God has that word for you. He decrees over you that in 2014 that you are going to enter into 7 years of great abundance. And again, when you hear a prophetic word that resonates within your spirit, lay hold of it. Remember, God is a good God. Heaven does not have any negative vibes within heaven. You will never find negativity in heaven. It is a positive atmosphere full of love and hope and grace and goodness and abundance. And God wants us to live in the earth in that heavenly state. So we need to carve out that blessing. And we do that when we believe his word. And if he says there's going to be great abundance in the next 7 years and you believe that, then there's no fear in that. I don't fear. It says perfect love casts out fear. My God loves me so much that he will every single day give me an abundance of grace for everything I need within that day. So 2014, it's an amazing year. And we've already, oh my gosh, as a ministry, we've already been experiencing his abundance. We already have testimonies of his goodness already. Many testimonies of breakthrough and goodness, and individuals on our team have testimonies. It's awesome. We've already seen numerous souls come into the kingdom. We've already seen the goodness of God. It's a season of abundance. It's not lack. It's abundance. He is El Shaddai, the God of all plenty. Okay, next, the third word that I got that day was that he will greatly bless and multiply our seed. And now seed, it says in Mark 4, the sower sows the word. The seed is the word of God. And so we need to sow the word more than ever before. Because why? Because there's going to be a great harvest in the word of God. He says he is going to greatly bless and greatly multiply our seed that we sow. So whatever you sow, sow the word for sure, the promises, decree the promises over you. In fact, just want to encourage you, if you don't have a decree book yet, order it online at our ministry site, xpministries.com, or you can get the digital copy even tonight off of xpmedia.com in the store there. Just download that decree book and start decreeing the word of God over your life, because that word, God is going to cause it to create an abundant harvest for you. But every time you sow love, every time you sow kindness, expect an abundant harvest, because he's going to greatly multiply that seed. Finances, when you're sowing this year, sow with intentionality your finances into kingdom advancement, and it will have two effects. Number one, what you sow it into, the ministry that you sow it into, and the project that you sow it into will be multiplied with blessing, but also your financial seed itself will be returned in great abundance. So this is a time, 2014, sow. I'm sowing the word as much as I can right now. In fact, every day I'm sowing it with our team. I'm sowing it in my prayer time. I'm sowing it even in my sleep. I wake up in the night and I'm sowing the word in worship and in sharing with friends and sharing with staff through media. I'm sowing the word. I'm sowing the word into you right now, because God said he's going to greatly bless it and he's going to greatly multiply it. And so be blessed with that. It's a great year. He's going to multiply our seed. Okay, in about 10 minutes, I'm going to receive from you any questions or comments you have. And you can send those in. I'm not guaranteeing that I can make them all. I might not be able to answer them all, but I'll do as many as I can. And so email Shirley, spelled like Shirley Temple, Shirley, S-H-I-R-L-E-Y, Shirley, at xpmedia.com. And that is the producer of our Everlasting Love television program. And she's also the co-founder of xpmedia.com. And she's here in the studio, and she will receive your questions and bring them out to me. And so that's Shirley at xpmedia.com. So send your thoughts or things that God is maybe speaking to you about 2014. Okay, next. The next word that God has given me is regarding the media mountain. And many in 2014 are going to climb that mountain. Now, I have a lot of investment into media as far as my intercession. And as a prophet years ago, I started prophesying the emergence of God's media army. And that was at a time when there was very few in the body of Christ that were interested in media, didn't even know that God was calling us to media. And so we started prophesying the emergence of that army and started hosting different events to encourage people to use media for the spreading of the gospel. He even called us to host two film festivals as a prophetic act, as a prophetic message to call forth Christians into entertainment media. Well, to my delight, we have seen great growth in media. There's many Christian filmmakers and producers and actors, and it's just awesome what God is doing. And as we've been praying for God to use entertainment media to tug the hearts of people, to raise the moral bar, we have been seeing that. In fact, just over the Christmas holidays, I had the blessing of watching two great movies that totally exalted Christian values and family morals, and it was awesome, just beautiful. And we're seeing more and more of that, and more Christians are producing movies and films. It's awesome. So what you're going to see in 2014 is you're going to see more people climb that mountain, more Christians. And it's absolutely important that we do, because in the spirit, there is a war going on between the darkness and the light in the media realm. The enemy has some very clear strategies to produce pernicious evil like never before through media. That is going to happen more in 2014. There's even going to be things that used to be restraints that would keep, put a cap on it, are going to be lifted. It's almost like, you know, demon spirits from the abyss are going to rise up and create things in media that are going to be absolutely obnoxious. That is going to happen. What we need to do as God's people is rise up and create more light. Don't complain about the darkness. Light expels darkness. Darkness cannot thrive if there is light. And so God is calling His people to rise up into media like never before in 2014. If you are an intercessor, I want you to hear this word, because I want you to prophetically blow the trumpet to call God's media army into their place, and that He will grace them with an amazing grace and supernatural ability to create moral media. And that He would even use unsaved people to create moral media. We need to fill that place in the Spirit with light like never before, because there's this tension, there's this battle that's between these camps, and we cannot ignore it. I'm telling you prophetically that there's an escalation of evil coming for media. Therefore, we have to rise up with more light. And that's what makes that whole scenario good news. Now, I don't want you to focus on what I just said about how bad the evil media is going to get. Don't focus on that. It's okay for you to know that, but only so that you can call forth the light. Because we're not going to focus on the darkness. That darkness is going to be judged by God. It's going to be annihilated. It's not going to live forever. But His Word lives forever. His light and life lives forever. And that's what team we are on. So we're not going to get all fearful. We're not going to get overwhelmed when we see the evil emerge. We are going to stand firm in the light, knowing that at the end we win. But you can be ready to see some things that are disappointing, especially there's actually going to be increase in a very big perversion. Sexual perversion it's just going to escalate. We need to pray and speak light into that darkness. The day is going to come when it'll all be burned up. I'll talk about that in a moment. But we need to understand that this is the hour when we have to take our posts and release the light into the darkness. Many of you that are even watching this might be called to God's media army, and you think, I never knew anything about media before. I've never felt, you know, inspired to do it. But all of a sudden this year, you might feel inspired, because the media army is actually going to expand exponentially in 2014. And there's going to be a lot of films produced, and they're going to be produced quickly. And so it's going to be an amazing year for God in that way. Okay, next, number five, the social media is actually going to a whole new level. And there are going to be, within the next 3 years, there's going to be some restructuring of policies in that for certain dimensions of social media. And so the Lord wants us to make complete use of it right now. There's a scripture that Jesus said. He said, you know, work while it's yet day, night is coming when no man can work. And so what we want to do, while there's absolute freedom to do, to say, to spread whatever we can, is to use it to its utmost now. Because if policies come in that restrain us in certain ways, or maybe start charging us and that, we want to be sure that we're using our freedom right now to the utmost, just the utmost for His highest, okay? Now, social media is being used, of course, by the enemy. And many Christians have said, well, I should stay away from it because there's so much demonic stuff happening. But you know what? There's a lot of righteousness that's happening through social media. I minister on my personal Facebook page, which is Patricia King page. I minister every single day, numerous times during the day. The Lord inspires me to put posts out that actually minister to people's hearts, that minister to their spirits, that feed their spirits. And it's my delight to do it. Every time He downloads, I just, you know, get on my media device and just send it out, because I know that that goes out into cyberspace and it makes an impact. And with the viral sharing, who knows, it could go all the way around the world and back again, touching multitudes of people's lives, just because of faithfully putting the word out. So this is a year when God wants to highlight social media. There's going to be a lot of training in churches and that. There's going to be a whole media army that is like a go team. In fact, on xpmedia.com, we actually have a go team where you can be an evangelist with media and send out just send out media all over the world intentionally. And so God is going to highlight that in 2014. Use it for the gospel. Many media evangelists are going to arise and be using social media to spread the word. There's going to be shakings in nations because of social media. It's going to have a lot of light on it this year. Or a lot of attention, I should say. Okay, number six, there's also going to be global attention on anti-trafficking endeavors. Many nations are going to be, leaders in nations are going to be coming together and rallying specifically on many roundtables, not just one or two. I'm talking many. And there's going to be subcommittees. I see it in the spirit all around the world at different times in 2014 to come to solutions on what can happen for anti-trafficking. Start praying God's people into those roundtables. Pray for God's people to be in those government positions, those committee positions, because righteousness needs to be there. We need the Daniels, the Shadrachs, the Meshachs, the Abednegoes to stand as righteous ones in the midst of Babylon in this hour. Of course, we know that pornography has, you know, a great pull, a great fuel for the trafficking, sex trafficking, and we need to address that within the church, of course. But many Christians are actually, even as you're watching this webinar right now, you might be in a season where you're being called to do something about sex trafficking, especially for the children at risk. And you think, well, what can I do? Because I'm not trained. I'm not like, but you know, I wasn't either. I just said yes to God. And now I'm right in the center of it all. We are going to be able to annihilate sex trafficking, especially of children. Modern day slavery will annihilate it in our lifetime if we will believe God for it. And so many Christians, God is calling many Christians. I see them being marked in the Spirit. I'm seeing a vision even right now where they're being marked by the Holy Spirit for annihilating this whole thing of sex trade. And you might actually be marked by the Spirit, but many Christians will be marked. Many Christians will be even saying, you know, I've got to quit my secular job and I've got to go and work on this full time because they're being compelled. It's bigger than they are. So in 2014, there's going to be a lot of global attention. It's not just going to be in one area. It'll be the nations coming together to try to find solution for this. So be in prayer for that. I see Shirley just came into the room. I know she's got questions. I've got a couple more points I still want to be able to give to you prophetically. So just bear with me for a couple more minutes here. Next is Israel is going to continue to be a focal point. Whatever happens in Israel, it's like this epicenter of kingdom government, but it's where the biggest war and clash is in the spirit as well. But I see God's eye is on Israel with a lot of favor. And yet there's tensions that are going to go like waves that'll come and then subside and then come and subside. But it's like there's still focal, Israel is still a focal point in this year. And please be in prayer for all the nations and especially the nation's leaders to value Israel and God's purposes for Israel. Now it's going to take God's intervention because in the natural, there'll be like people wanting to turn against Israel, but we need to stand for Israel and pray for your government leaders that they will stand with Israel. It's very, very important because God's separating those who will stand with and those who won't. So let's call us into that right place in God. Number nine is back to this whole thing with the tension between, you know, grace and the law. I'll just allude to that again and just it's going to be a big issue this year, but it's going to be awesome. In fact, sometimes these tensions are necessary in order to come to the central truth. And so go for that truth. Walk in the grace of the Lord that produces righteousness because God is looking for true believers who truly love Him with their heart. Those are the ones who are touched by grace and compelled by love and moving and functioning in the fullness of who He is because He wrote their His laws on their heart. And then number 10, this is my passion, this one, is fire. I just finished doing a whole study over the weekend of the word fire, it's like 547 mentions of it in the scripture. I studied out each mention that was listed, and it is an amazing study. But God is going to purify. Whenever you see the fire in scripture, it's speaking of purification. It speaks of consuming things that are not of God, a devouring fire that takes care of everything that is against him. It's just a refiner's fire, a fire that refines us, but it's also a love fire. It speaks of his love, out of Song of Solomon, that it's a fire that can't be quenched, his love. It is amazing. When you take this to the New Testament and you translate it through the cross, you will see that God is going to fulfill his word to baptize with fire. There is a baptism with fire coming. I'm not positive that it's actually going to come to the whole body in 2014 like a global outpouring yet. But I tell you, there are many of you that are watching this and many people worldwide that are going to get touches of this fire that is going to purify their hearts and release them into the love of God like never before. This fire is going to separate out the unrighteous from the righteous. Even unrighteous attitudes. Lately, I've been, training myself in this fire. And when I identify a wrong thought or something that I know isn't something that God would endorse, I'll say, fire on you. I want that burned up. I'm saying, oh, God, come and burn up the dross in me. I want this fire. And we aren't to be afraid of it in the sense of I've heard people say, oh, you won't want the fire because when it comes, it's going to be so painful and it's going to be this and it's going to be that. Again, it depends on your heart. If you are at enmity against the Lord, if you are in hatred towards him, in rebellion against him, and that fire comes upon the unrighteousness in you, it might hurt a little bit, because so anything outside of God is going to hurt. But if I'm in God and I'm loving him, I say, oh God, please give me your fire to purify me. That's a love fire that's going to purify me. And so the fire, this is a season of fire. You're actually going to see that word a lot. The word fire will be used a lot in 2014. You're going to see it. But the Lord wants you to ask for that purifying fire because it's for the season of fire that we're in right now. The man of fire is going to reveal himself to many people this year. And you're going to see, we've seen it in many meetings where people have actually felt the manifestation of fire. And every time I preach on it, there's people that actually receive. I've had in certain meetings, over 90% of the meeting has had the manifestation of fire because God confirms his word with signs following. So there's some points, we could go on with what God has for 2014. It's going to be a very amazing year. And God wants you to believe the very best because he's got good things for you. We only have about 10 minutes left, but here's some questions. This one's from Dan. Hi, Dan, and thank you so much for writing in. He says, Patricia, what are your feelings about the predictions of financial collapse in the United States? How do we pray for our nation? Well, God is ultimately an amazing provider, and he is a God of blessings. So first of all, we know that that is his heart. But if there is corruption in the system that is hurting the nation, then that needs to go to fire. Or maybe it all needs to fall. It needs to collapse, okay? So God will always draw through his kindness. Through his kindness, he will lead to repentance. He said in the book of Revelation about that woman Jezebel, when they were writing the letter, about that woman Jezebel, I gave her time to repent, but she did not. What we need to do for the United States of America is ask God to give conviction of sin for anyone, especially in leadership or who is controlling finance, to purge the nation of the evil, to bring a conviction that will bring repentance to people, where they'll know his goodness and turn to him. Because it is sin that will bring the collapse. Like, you can't sow to the flesh and expect good things to happen. You will get the consequence of what your actions produce unless there is repentance. And if there's a revival, which there could be, everyone could change overnight. Everyone could turn around overnight. But God loves us too much to keep us in a hard place. He just loves us. Now, for the people of God, for the covenant people of God, if everything were to collapse around us, it doesn't mean we collapse. Like, for example, Israel, when they were going through the wilderness, they had direct provision from God coming out of heaven every single day. That's what we have available. We have God is available to us. So the nation might go through some shakings, which would only be good for it, because what is going to shake is everything that is not of God. So if anything is going to collapse, it'll be only that which is not of God. But what is of God will stand. So that would be a very, very good thing. God is a merciful God. He gives us time to repent. That's what I feel that we should pray for, because ultimately we are in for the consequence of our action at some point, unless there is a turnaround. So pray for revival, but know for yourself that if you are living uprightly in God, and you're allowing that heart of favor to be upon you, don't look to the world system. It's just a world system. In fact, there's no money in heaven. There's provision in heaven, but there's no money in heaven. It's an earthly currency. So we don't put our trust in earthly currency, but start moving towards God as your provider, because He's an amazing provider, and He'll surprise you in ways that He can meet all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Okay, I hope that helps answer it. This one's from Emily. Hello, Emily, and thank you for sending this question in. It says, do you have any advice for us who are just beginning to grow in learning to hear what God is saying to us for the new year? Yes. First of all, I mean, definitely get some good teaching on hearing the voice of God. But also, again, as I've mentioned, rightly divide the word. Bring everything. Remember that you are a child of God. I never received like an evil word saying, oh, everything's going to be bad for me. Oh, no, because I belong to God. Everything's going to turn out good. Even if there's challenges to overcome, there's grace in it to turn out an amazing testimony of that. So always know that God is good. So when you're discerning His voice, know that He leads you in righteousness. He'll lead by love. He'll lead you into His goodness. You know, and so make sure that all the word that you received matches, like it doesn't violate the word of God, and that it is fulfilled or confirmed through the finished work of the cross. Next, this is from Rhonda Garcia. Hello, Rhonda. It says, reaping fleshly acts. How does that work? Diseases or other curses like unruly children, cheating husband, etc. I'm not like quite sure specifically how like a sowing will work in specific instances, but I can give you a couple of examples. Like for example, if I'm sowing contention, like let's say I'm being contentious and miserable and, you know, starting arguments all the time, then what's going to happen is I will reap that back. If I'm doing that for others, then I'll reap that back. It'll come back on me. Okay, whatever I sow, I'm going to reap. So the consequence of sin, for every action, there is a corresponding consequence. So for example, if I am loving people all the time and sowing love intentionally, I'm going to reap love. Maybe not even from those same people that I sowed it into, but I'm going to reap love because I sowed love. If I sow kindness, I'm going to reap kindness. If I sow love into a marriage, I should be able to call forth the harvest of that. And so my life is rich today because I intentionally sow. I intentionally sow things with deliberation. And my team does too, because they know this. Our team lives great lives. You know, we all have great lives. Our partners have great lives. It's awesome because we've learned how to sow. But we need to have the fear of the Lord on us, or what I mean by that is respect for God, awesome respect for Him, because if you sow to the flesh, if you sow in immorality, you're going to hurt yourself, you're going to hurt others, there's a consequence to be paid. Families are destroyed through that, you know, you are going to suffer the consequence of that. So the blood of Jesus can wash away the sin and the consequence, but we need to walk with God. We need to sow good actions according to His word. Okay, Jeannie Curtis, what did you mean when wrath comes against us when there is sin? Okay, in Romans 1, it says that the wrath of God is against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. It doesn't say God's wrath is against men. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, God spent all His wrath as far as the judgment, the punishment, everything, as far as mankind in sin. It was spent on His Son, Jesus Christ. That means there's none left for us. But He still hates sin, and you want Him to. I want Him to hate sin. We work with children being raped every day with the whole sex trade industry, and we're, you know, we see and know things that are horrific. I wouldn't feel safe with a God who thought that was okay. I know He's very angry at the sin, and yet He loves the children. He loves those who buy the children for sex. He doesn't want them in that. He wants them rescued from that thing. He hates that sin. He has wrath against that sin that's holding them in bondage. He wants the people free. He wants those that are the cartel owners. He wants them free. You know, He loves them, but He hates the sin. Now, if you've hardened your heart and you're not turning to God away from those things because He's drawing you by His kindness to be free, and you're choosing to be involved with sin and to engage in sin, the time, there's going to be an appointed time when His wrath, His anger, His judgment comes against that sin. If you're in it, you're going to get to know what the wrath of God is. And it's the wrath of God. I wouldn't want God to be angry with me, or I wouldn't want to be touched by His anger. I want His anger to be against the things that are hurting me. I don't want to be involved in that. I want to be out of the room when He's releasing His anger towards sin. So that's what I mean by that. And I hope that helps. Okay. Jeannie asks this, if someone was saved, but they sin because they're just not convicted, will they be raptured? I believe once saved, always saved, but I struggle with whether or not they will actually be raptured. I said the prayer with my daughter, but she doesn't like to talk about Jesus and salvation now, and that concerns me. At the time, she was very accepting. Perhaps just sin separated so much she has a hardened heart now. I'm just concerned about knowing if she will be raptured. Thanks. Whoops. That is our little alarm saying our time's up, but I got a couple more minutes that I'll add into this. You know what? I don't understand fully about, like, who's going to get raptured, when the rapture is going to come. I've listened to different opinions about, or convictions that people have about their eschatology. All I know is that I'm living for God 100% right now, and I want to try to paint such a beautiful picture of God's love, of His goodness, of His purity, of His righteousness, of His ways, that everybody will want to jump into His heart and be just like Him. We need to pray for the sinners, definitely. Now, it is our faith that saves us, but sin hardens us. And there could be a time, like if we harden our heart with choosing sinful ways, choosing the world, choosing our flesh, to a point where we lose our faith and there's nothing left to save us. And so it is a serious thing to be a lover of sin. I don't know what to tell you as far as the rapture, because I'm not really clear on who goes, when everyone's going, how everyone's going necessarily. Like that, I'm not sure, but I am sure of this one thing. Our God is an extremely merciful God, but He's a very righteous God as well. And that if we will preach His love in a way that paints Him as the most beautiful God that He is, and let people know about His love, that love will draw them. God ultimately is going to deal with every individual. He knows every heart. We can't make a person's decisions for them, but we can pray and make the way for them to follow Him with all of their heart, mind, and strength. And that is what we can give our life to. Well, our time's up for the webinar. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed being with you and being able to deliver a message of hope for 2014. We are living in treacherous times. The days are growing evil. People's hearts are hardening against the truth. There's a lot of compromise that if we continue in it, there'll be great consequence for that. But there is a remnant who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who walk in his light as he is in the light. There's a great harvest coming in the world like never before. Even right now, as we are sitting here listening to this word, there are souls being saved. It's harvest time in 2014. It's a good season. We can smile at the future. Are there going to be some dark things around us? Yes, but we can't focus on the darkness. We have to focus on the light, and that is what will expel the darkness. So do you love him with all your heart? Are you excited for everything he has for you in this coming year? You can smile at your future because it's going to be a year of great abundance, of great victory for you if you will walk with Jesus Christ, the Almighty Savior, Lord, King of the universe. He is amazing, and so are you. And he loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does.